Welcome to the latest episode of The Independent. I'm Pete Sampson, joined as always by co-host Matt Fortuna. I am at the Fairfield Inn by the Raleigh-Durham Airport. Matt is in, what, Mike Golick's radio booth atop Bryant Denny Stadium?
Yeah, it's every. I had a very Domer-filled weekend for a guy who's at a game in Tuscaloosa. I got caught in the airport with Paul Burmeister last night. I got to see Tommy Rees call plays tonight, and I saw Mike Golick Jr. call the game from up here, and now I'm in his radio booth. But that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about Notre Dame and the step forward they took today. And I got to tell you, P, watching that game, when it was still a game, well, midway through the third quarter, it was one of those games where I thought, whatever happens here, barring a loss, like, I think the ceiling for this team is higher than maybe even I gave it credit for entering. And I say that because they had a lot of self-inflicted wounds this game. I know it wasn't an ideal circumstance for anyone, but there was no way you watched that game, even when it was, I think, 24-17 and came away with any other takeaway other than, like, Notre Dame is a significantly better team here. They should and will win this game. And now we can start talking big picture, especially with Central Michigan. Me and you, at least, with Central Michigan on tap here this week, can talk big picture, because that looks like a damn good football team that went to Raleigh today.
Yeah, they put it on NC State eventually. It took a minute to get there, but you know, the 2-hour weather delay, you know, 10 penalties for 82 yards. It was, I mean, there was some funky stuff that happened that some of it Notre Dame brought on itself, some of it didn't. But when they came out after the weather delay, boom, first play, 80-yard touchdown for Mauder Kestimae, who's running away from NC State's entire defense.
Jaden Thomas, like, at midfield is holding his arms up, like, touchdown. I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
that was that kind of got your attention a little bit. And then, you know, I thought it was a really good first test for Jared Parker, where he had to counterpunch a little bit. You know, the game plan didn't work out of the gate, so they had to get a little bit creative. They do that, you know, in the 80-yard touchdown run from Estime, you've got Joe Alt at sort of right tackle next to, you know, where a tight end would be, next to Blake Fisher, kind of an unbalanced line. So they got creative that way. And then he knew the right spots where NC State had sort of given up the ghost a little bit, where they are just going to have to sell out and stop the run. And it's like, well, what do you do then? You throw play action to Holden Stays, and you throw play action to Davis Sherwood, and you throw play action to Holden Stays again. So I thought it wasn't a perfect performance by Notre Dame, not even close. But I think in terms of what you got out of this weekend, if you're Marcus Freeman, huge, like, a nice statement win. It showed what you can be when everything's clicking. And I think also having a little bit of a game pressure on you isn't the worst thing after the first couple weeks of the season, you know, where the players had to look around and be like, all right, like, we have to show up here. Like, we can't just coast to a victory here and then just put their foot on the gas and the game was over. So it was, I thought it was a really impressive performance. I liked how they kept throwing late too. Cause I think that's a bit of an identity shift from where Notre Dame was before. So I found Marcus Freeman, again, it's not a perfect performance, but in terms of, like, getting everything that you needed to out of the Saturday, like, pretty damn close.
Yeah. You know, We talked about this last week, and we kind of had a running bit of, like, why would you call a timeout to get the ball back against Tennessee State? And I said, well, because they haven't been in this situation before, and maybe they'll need to be in it. And sure enough, with 109 left, and it led to a touchdown for NC State, Notre Dame calls a timeout. It also leads to a touchdown for Notre Dame right before halftime. And again, that's a level of aggression and confidence that I don't think I've ever seen in a Notre Dame offense, quite frankly. And was this 13 years, I think, of covering the program in some capacity. It's just different. I mean, I was with a pretty big Domer earlier this week. He turned to me kind of casually and said, you know what, Matt, we should beat Ohio State. And I've never had the balls to so much as think that. Like, it's always like, maybe we can win. Now it's like, no, like, we got the better quarterback. We should win that. And I think that's a mindset that a lot of people around Notre Dame have, regardless of how poor Ohio State has looked through two games so far. And I'm lying to you if I say I really broke down the film of Youngstown State today, but they struggled a little bit, probably more than they should have. It was an aggressive approach. I mean, you've got Hartman doing the game day interview on the field, doing stretches with Pat McAfee. He's making jokes about his rib. They did a whole segment on his rib. Adam Renneberg, our friend at ESPN, had a great story on said rib. talk to Sam's mom, and I guess there's a lot that goes into cleaning a rib if you're a former nurse. And she said, don't check my Google search history. You'll think I'm looking for ways to kill my husband and cover up the track marks. But it was funny. And it's just, there's a spotlight on this team. Not that they're like, it's Notre Dame, they're always gonna be a spotlight, but like there's a natural gravitation toward it. I think when you have a superstar quarterback who's been there and done that the way Sam Hartman has. And I just think, you know, they're showing the stats pregame, 73% of his passes entering today had resulted in a first down or a touchdown. Obviously that number went down a little bit today, but again, you look at the final line, 15 of 24, 286 yards, four touchdowns, playing within the flow of the game. Obviously a fumble, you know, but he got hit around too. I mean, third play of the game, he gets knocked on his ass, fumbles the ball, they recover, and you think, all right, this is going to be one of those games. And they needed a game like that. I think both teams, you know, neither got a first down, I think, until the third down of their third drives. It was a weird game. I don't envy you with the weather situation. I mean, it's something about Notre Dame and Raleigh that should be canceled. I mean, it's not a pretty mix. But Notre Dame made it work. And I think, by the way, I'm going to overlook this because it's the first thing I noticed and I made a mental note. That gold C is beautiful. Why they haven't done that before on the chest, I don't know. That is awesome. Like that
it looked good.
I'm sorry, that's great.
It was a nice touch for those jerseys. But I think that, you know, what do you need to be a national story in college football? You either need to be coached by Deion Sanders or you need to have a superstar quarterback. And like Notre Dame has the latter of those two things, you know, where you want to pay attention to what's going on with Notre Dame because it's Sam Hartman. And I think he's got, he comes across as like, you know, eccentric a little bit, but I was down on the field after the game and, you know, I think it was Molly McGrath doing post game TV with her at midfield. So Sam is the last guy in the field. The entire Notre Dame team's and the coaching staff's already in the locker room. Sam comes over towards the tunnel to come up, but NC State's band is playing like right by the tunnel. And like, he knows like, as soon as I go in the tunnel, these Notre Dame fans are going to go nuts. So he just stops, takes a moment, lets the band finish it up. As soon as they're done, last note, boom, he's running up the tunnel, fans are going nuts, slapping a couple high fives. He gets up there. And it was interesting. Like, there was an usher down on the field who came up to me after and was like, man, that's like, I've been watching this guy for 5 years and I'm just a huge Sam Hartman fan. Like, he just, like, I'm just really impressed with him.
Sure. It wasn't Dave Doran.
It wasn't Dave. Definitely wasn't Dave Doran. But, I just think like Hartman comes across as somebody that's sort of easy to like. He's, you know, got the quirky rib thing, you know, the beard, the hair, the fact that he's really good. It makes Notre Dame interesting on a national level. Like, outside of people who are listening to this podcast, I think are sort of interested in Notre Dame now, maybe in a similar way. Like, you know, you want to know, okay, Texas, like how good are they? Or like USC, I'm curious about them. I think Notre Dame is sort of has a national curiosity now for reasons beyond like history and tradition. They're interesting because of current times, quarterback and head coach.
I mean, speaking from the seat I was in tonight, I never in a million years, shouldn't be that dramatic. rarely, if ever, have I watched Alabama play in person and thought, man, they could use Notre Dame's quarterback right now. Like, Tommy Rees, I mean, he recruited Sam Hartman to Notre Dame. He's probably not there without Tommy Rees, but like, boy, could Alabama use a Sam Hartman right now. Like, other than throwing downfield,
a Tommy Rees quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, it was a boom or bust effort for those guys tonight, but it is different. I think it resets the bar. Again, the schedule being what it is, what we've seen so far, Clemson themselves struggled for a half today with FCS Charleston Southern. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. November is a long time from now. And if your next trip to Clemson's anything like your second trip to Raleigh was, there will also be a hurricane. So certain ACC locales just are not that friendly in Notre Dame in the weather department, but it is different. It feels different. It looks different. Not to be over dramatic about how good or bad NC State is, but you know, Notre Dame took a punch today. I mean, three and out, I wouldn't qualify as adversity, but when your first couple drives, nothing's working for you. I don't say doubt creeps in, but like after the last 2 weeks we watched from our purview, it's like, oh, okay, this is different. Like we got to like watch a game that's going to unfold here and see how Jared Parker is going to solve his first test. And, you know, Tony Gibson is a hell of a defensive coordinator at NC State. I'm pretty sure he was on Marcus Freeman's shortlist when Freeman was hiring a DC and went with Al Golden 2 years ago. He did NC State. I tweeted this. You probably saw it. But you know what the last time they gave up 30 points in a game was?
Oh, I saw that you had tweeted this out. Was it like? I can't remember. What was it?
November 21 against Sam Hartman. Scored 45 points, 45-42. Right. Like, that's a damn good defense that got carved up pretty neatly by an Notre Dame offense that I would say was not on its A game either. Like, they were bad, but like it wasn't like, oh, all right, hand him to Heisman now. So I think we learned a lot about Notre Dame from this game. I think Marcus Freeman learned a lot about Notre Dame from this game. I think you have to be confident in the capabilities of your football team and in the fact that there's a lot to correct. I mean, that was a sloppy first half, especially from the defense. I mean, Benjamin Morrison's the last guy you expect to deliver a late hit and get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And right after he dropped an interception that was basically a long punt, a couple plays earlier in the first quarter. It was sloppy for a while, and NC State likes it sloppy. I mean, Greg McElroy and Sean McDonough had said before the delay, I think they were quoting Dave Doran. They're talking about someone from the NC State side who said, like, bring it on. Like, these are conditions we love. The dirtier, the better. Let's do it. And that's, you know, the underdog mentality that they naturally have there. But Notre Dame rolled up their sleeves and got it done. And they got it done with room to spare. I mean, there were a lot of starring actors in the fourth quarter there who we probably didn't expect to see making big plays for the Irish and putting that game away as definitively as they ended up doing it.
Yeah, certainly not Davis Sherwood, Holden Stays. Like, you knew that there was a good connection there working with Sam Hartman if you watched any of Notre Dame's preseason camps. But it's such a weird box score for Notre Dame when you look at, okay, offensively, they score 42 points, 45 points, six touchdowns. But they also went three and out six times. So it wasn't all just like, okay, this is exactly how we drew this up in practice. Very rarely have we seen Notre Dame go out and win via the chunk play, but that's what they had to do basically until the fourth quarter rolled around, where just a handful of explosive plays were keeping the offense together. But it was a weird game for Notre Dame offensively. But man, once they figured out their groove and they had established, not necessarily establishing the run, but at least the threat of the run with Audric Estime. I mean, he finishes up with 14 carries for 134 yards, but 80 of it is on one play. So then it's 13 carries for 54 yards, which is not bad, but not what you would expect from Audric Estime. You know, the other backs chipped in a little bit. I feel like there was a chance for, you know, Jeremiah Love could have snapped off a huge touchdown run. Jerrion Price gave them a little bit of something. But it was just like they had to muck around and figure it out. And then once they did, NC State couldn't do a damn thing about it because did we just sort of really overvalue Brennan Armstrong as a quarterback at this point? I think we'd have to say that we did, right?
Like, I mean, he didn't have a whole lot of help there in his defense.
No, his receivers were real bad.
Well, his receivers in Virginia were really good. So I think that had something to do with it. But anytime you hold anyone at the ACC level to 4.4 yards per play, you're going to win that game. I mean, it's funny hearing even Brennan Armstrong say before the game, he'll be 24 next month, I think. And rarely is he the youngest guy taking the field among quarterbacks in this game. But sure enough, he wasn't this one. But Notre Dame's defense, aside from a few breaks in the late in the first half, came to play. And again, when do you see that kind of quick strike, big play, almost Ohio State-ish offense from Notre Dame, right? I mean, 80-yard touchdown run. 40-yard touchdown reception from Holden Stays. 35-yard touchdown reception from Holden Stays. Great House had a 13-yard touchdown that came on a 40-second drive right before the half that you just knew they were going to be aggressive and probably get some points out of it. It's exciting to see. It's very easy on the eyes on TV and for the fan base to get behind. When you have a charismatic quarterback, it makes you a very likable bunch. And it was just it's been different. It's been exciting. It's come together quicker for them than I thought they would. Not that I have my doubts about Sam Hartman, but again, the guy just got there in the winter. Yep. The guy he committed to play for left right after he got there. You know, he's got two new coaches in his ear that he didn't have last, or he didn't think he would have after last year, Jared Parker and Gino Guidulli. So it's just been different, but it's been such a natural transition, and it's really, you know, seemed to click for these guys on all cylinders. And I also add Spencer Schrader, my God, the foot of God. Like, holy cow, can that guy boot it? Like, I'm watching, you probably had a little more background on him than I did. I knew he was from USF, but, you know, Freeman, not even thinking twice about putting him out there for multiple 50-yard kicks, one of which was good, the other of which absolutely had the distance.
Yep.
In those conditions, I mean, wow. Like, that was something.
He is an interesting guy. I will have a big story on him on The Athletic this week that I had been saving.
Don't all subscribe at once.
Yeah, well, I've been saving in the preseason. Like, well, this guy hasn't done anything yet. May I wait for him to do something before writing the story? And he did plenty today to warrant it. Yeah, it's across the board, there was so much that Freeman could point to as like, this is almost all good stuff. I mean, defensively, Brennan Armstrong finishes 22 of 47 with three picks, two touchdowns. And that's, I mean, look, that's good. But NC State on the ground, like, they had to get all gadgetry with jet sweeps and whatnot, and they still only finished with 30 carries for 84 yards. Like, that's winning football from a defense that had shown some good things. I don't know if either of us looked at that defense and thought, like, okay, they got a chance to be great. But, I mean, Xavier Watts played outstanding today. You know, he has a great PBU that frankly was in some ways more impressive than the pick he had a snap later. You know, DJ Brown gets a pick as well. Ben Morrison got a pick after missing it earlier. They got a lot out of a lot of guys defensively today. You know, Maris Leafau was in that group. They got pressure on Brennan Armstrong, but did not turn him loose as a runner, which is something that killed them against USC last year. Armstrong finished with 12 carries for 26 yards. Like, that works every dang time. So it was, I thought Al Golden was steady throughout the game, and then Jared Parker grew into it, which is a bit of a counter from the previous 2 weeks where Jared Parker came out with like plan A is working just fine, and Al Golden had to figure out plan B, plan C, and plan D on the fly. The roles were reversed on Saturday, and I thought Jared Parker came out looking pretty good because of it.
Did you see Nurem's next week's opponent this today?
I saw they beat New Hampshire like 45-42.
Yes. I was following along, and it was close, and I just kind of assumed they pulled away, and I just looked at that final score now, and I was like, okay,
yeah.
Interesting. Well, not sure what we'll really learn next week other than the tune-up for Ohio State.
Matt, what have you always said is my biggest weakness on fall Saturdays?
Well, Pete, I'd say your hair, but who am I to talk? Let's go with your wardrobe.
Harsh but fair.
As a friend and your co-host, let me tell you about the exclusive clothier of Notre Dame football, ESQ. ESQ outfits over 400 professional athletes, celebrities, and Irish players on game day with bespoke clothing that elevates their game off the field. ESQ sculpts every garment with precision, helping you look your best for work, weddings, celebrations, or in your case, Pete, the press box.
Listeners of The Independent can get 15% off their first online order by using the code IND15 at checkout. That's IND15, or visit them at their Chicago showroom for a full custom look. Head to esqclothing.com to create your perfect fit.
What did you do at the break? Because apparently Notre Dame forgot to pack food, and Otter Gasvay had a concession stand hot dog that propelled him to an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah, a bit of a fail on my part. Like, I wish that as soon as I saw that TV report that I had gone down to the concession stands and figured out who had actually served the hot dogs. But yeah,
actually a good story. That's really
yeah,
good story.
That was a missed opportunity. My bad. But yeah, during the break, I did some work on stories for next week, and just waited for the rain to stop, which I wasn't entirely sure it was going to stop at all because you were seeing some water pool on the field. Obviously, if you've covered Notre Dame as much as I have, you have some PTSD after the game in 2016 or the monsoon game at Clemson in 2015, the USF game in 2011. I was there for all of those horror shows. So yeah, I waited for the game to start again and then tried to figure out, okay, is it 20 minutes or 30 minutes? And then you tried to follow it on NC State's brand new, beautiful scoreboard that didn't get struck by lightning, but lightning was close. And then,
yeah, I mean, like, there was a big power probably surge. Did. They just didn't want to say that.
Yeah, there was a big power surge where, like, the overhead lights just and then the video board, like, scrambled. Eventually it came back on all the way, but I felt for NC State in that moment because they're quite proud of their new video board and it almost did not last one quarter of one game.
I don't know if you're watching the broadcast, the rules expert, and the names escape me right now, became a grandfather during the delay, so he had a pretty eventful, he was doing it from his house. I don't think he went to the hospital, but that was exciting for him, I'm sure. And then I saw your tweet about the dog in the pregame picking up the yard mark, the tee. We got to get the dog as a guest on the end.
Yeah. That's NC State had, there was multiple dog live dogs mascots. Cause there was Mr. and Mrs.
Woof.
Yeah. They were not live animals. Then there was the tee dog, but then they also had like, it was a husky, but man, it looked like a wolf. And it was just walking around on some with a leash, and I was a fine looking animal, but yeah, it was NC State. I don't want to rip NC State, but like, what's the difference between NC State and Purdue? Like, are they really like they get to play an ACC schedule instead of a Big Ten schedule?
Depends. Well, speaking of delays, you see Purdue today?
Yeah,
their game started at noon and ended like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I feel like NC State is the Purdue of North Carolina. They are not good. I don't know how they win as many games as they do. I do know because they play in the ACC.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
But like watching them today, they seem very, very average. And I'm not trying to, I don't say this to take any away from Notre Dame's performance at all, but I just don't think NC State is good. And if I was around NC State, I would look around my home state and think like, do I have the fourth best head coach in my state, in my league?
You know, I've always thought NC State, I don't want to say under, they've had one 10-win season in their history. They probably would have had a second one if their bowl game didn't get canceled to COVID a couple of years ago against UCLA. But I've always thought that place is a sleeping giant. Like, I thought that place could be, if not what Virginia Tech was during the Beamer heydays, close to it. I just think you've got the fan support, you've got the environment, you've got the location, you know, recruiting wise, like you can get kids into there. Like I know you don't have the brand of your rival school, UNC, but I just think, and you look at the draft output, I think it's fair to say they should win more games or should have won more games than they have in the past. But I mean, you said it, they're in the ACC. I mean, North Carolina need a double overtime today to beat Appalachian State. Carolina's
right. There's a reason Notre Dame has won 29 straight games against the league in the regular season. And it's not because Notre Dame is like Georgia.
Pittsburgh lost a home day to Cincinnati in its second game with a new coach. And again, Pittsburgh and NC State are
former Notre Dame quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. Forgot he was there.
Boston College almost lost at home to Holy Cross.
Yes, and they might have if not for the weather delay. And by the way, the NIU team that beat Boston College at BC last week lost at home today to Southern Illinois and FCS.
Virginia Tech lost to Purdue, which now is the North Carolina State of Indiana, I guess. I don't know. I'm not really sure how that works.
I don't know. It might be insulting to Indiana or Ball State. What was the other one? There was another Virginia lost at home to JMU in a game. Well, they didn't have their quarterback and they were the underdogs.
Yeah. But, America's fourth president knocks off the school of America's third.
How long were you working on that one?
No, yeah. There was a long delay, as you might know, Matt.
I got to interview the Texas governor on the field tonight. So,
okay. Congratulations.
No Bevo. Actually, it's funny you bring up Purdue. They had a troll of Notre Dame this week on Instagram. They have a new mini drum, and the caption was, "Won't have trouble getting through any visiting tunnels this time," or something to that effect.
Oh, so, that's excellent.
Forget live animals, Mr. and Mrs. Woof, or whatever they got at NC State. Whenever Purdue's back on Notre Dame's schedule, they're bringing that drum and they're smashing that thing.
Yes, they should.
Through the tunnel. As they should. Now that you mentioned it, the ACC is just...
Florida State obviously is up.
I was going to say, Florida State's
Miami really is good. Up.
Are they? I mean, It's A&M. Nice. They won five games last year. I mean, good for Miami. It's a big win for them. I don't want to take away from them, but like, somebody, I don't know if they're a threat to make noise this year. Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's, and I like, and that's why I don't want to dwell too much on like the quality of Notre Dame's ACC opponents, because like, look, they're better
I think Wake's good.
They're better than Duke. They're better than Wake. Obviously, they're better than Louisville. I guess it's more a question of like, are those teams better than NC State? I don't know if
depends on the day.
Yeah,
it depends on the day. I mean, the ACC Coastal was always the weirdest division in college football. Like, none of it made sense. I don't know what the win loss against the spread record is with those teams, but I'm sure it was just completely out of whack because none of it made sense. Now that there's no divisions, everyone's playing everyone. And in some ways, it makes even less sense because there's not this like natural pecking order of like, all right, you've got Clemson, Florida State, and everyone else in the Atlantic, and then just, you know, jumbled mess at the Coastal. It's not the best league. I think we can confidently say that. But I do think there are teams that on any given day play up to or down to their competition. And if they catch Notre Dame at the right time, maybe they could beat them. I don't think it'll happen. Roddy Jones was on our show earlier last week and he broke it down in great detail about just matchup wise, like Notre Dame's built much more like a Big Ten team physically.
Yep.
And that's just not the ACC style football. Even Clemson during their national title heydays, they had multiple first round picks receiver and generational quarterbacks. Their offense line was never really good.
They figured out one of the two lines, but they never figured out both.
Right. They never did. And that's something that a team like Notre Dame will feast on, because Notre Dame's almost always good on the offensive line. They're almost always more than good on the defensive line, or at least good enough, even if they don't have first-round talent there every year. And when you win the line of scrimmage, I saw it tonight, right? Texas is back because they got those big boys up front, and they bullied Alabama. That makes all the difference in the world, especially if you don't have the skill players that Clemson had 5 years ago, that Alabama had 3 years ago. So Notre Dame has the most important one right now at quarterback. And that, again, changes the conversation around this program and what can be done. Again, I don't want to get, you know, too far out over or under the skis, whatever the saying is, but that game on September 23rd, Ohio State, I mean, I haven't checked to see if you can bet on it now. I'd be almost surprised at this point if Ohio State was a favorite. Just based on from what you've seen so far, saying they're definitely going to win. I'm just saying, based on what we've seen and knowing what we know about both teams' quarterbacks, it would be a crushing loss for Notre Dame if they lost that game.
It may be. I agree with something.
It'd be like Georgia 17. Like, they could have won. They maybe should have won.
Yeah.
And then you see what Georgia did, and you're like, maybe this was our year. Like, again, Ohio State could win it all this year, knowing the way they've recruited. But, like, I just haven't seen anything from them so far that makes me think that team's going to go into South Bend and, you know, they could win, obviously, but dominate. Like, Notre Dame's got the better quarterback. They've got the home field advantage. They've got a lot of hype and excitement, barring any disaster next week in Central Michigan. I feel a lot differently about that game on September 9th.
To me, that was like the big thing today that Notre Dame could get done, is to make people feel differently about the Ohio State game. That I'm not going to sit here and say Notre Dame should win that game, but I think a lot of the fan base rationally feels like Notre Dame should win that game. And
if you can't win that game this year,
I'm not going to talk you out of it. Like, I'm not going to try to talk out of that vibe. Like,
I'm not saying it'd be a disaster if they lost, but if you're Notre Dame and you view yourself as a playoff contender and eventually a national title contender, you need to win that game when you have one of the best quarterbacks in the country, because you're not going to have Sam Hartman on your roster next year. And whoever you get, even if you go to the portal again, probably not going to be as good as that guy is.
No, it's probably not going to have he's 10th all time in career touchdown passes. Like, it's going to be hard to find that guy, because that guy doesn't exist in the transfer portal almost every other year. So I think Notre Dame, both the team and the fan base, now believes that they should beat Ohio State. I think they could beat Ohio State, but did Notre Dame really believe that it was going to beat Ohio State last year? No. Not with that game.
First game as a head coach, second game as a head coach, first game for Tyler Buchner.
No, where you're playing like
can't
a
even start on this Alabama team. Yeah. I mean,
you're playing a four corners offense, and then it's like, holy crap, you're winning in the almost the end of the third quarter before the dam breaks. Like, that's not going to be the vibe. Like, Notre Dame Notre Dame doesn't have to play to hide its quarterback anymore. Like, its quarterback is the show, and you are always in the game with Sam Hartman when you have a quarterback like that. Like, that's how other elite teams feel all the time. Now that's Notre Dame gets to live in that zip code now.
We all know how Ryan Day is with quarterbacks, and I think Kyle McCord will eventually be really good. He wouldn't be starting at Ohio State if he wasn't. But I also think that's kind of the benefit of getting these guys in September when you're the more proven quarterback. You're the more veteran team. Like, it wouldn't be some disaster if they lost. But, you know, it's like Clemson in 2020. Like, Brian Kelly knew the temperature of his team that year. He was, I don't want to say cocky, but, like, he was as quietly confident as I think I'd ever seen him really from preseason on that year about what a mature, deep team he had and how he thought they'd be Clemson. And we saw the post game after where the players said, Kelly's pregame speech said, like, we're going to rush the field after we win, so make sure you get out of here. Like, there was a swagger in his step about it.
I mean, he was calling his shot like 3 weeks in advance. I don't know if you remember that.
He said we got to get he trusted them not to overlook their opponents.
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 weeks before Clemson. He's like, we got to turn up the juice now so we can beat Clemson later. Like, coaches don't really operate that way.
He knew they could do that. And I'm not saying, I mean, Freeman's obviously a coach who's going to think he's going to win every game he's in, but, like, he's also a second-year head coach. He hasn't seen the kind of stuff that Brian Kelly did. Sam Hartman as a quarterback has. At least seen as much stuff as a guy humanly possible could see as a college quarterback. And so I think there is a quiet confidence about him that permeates through that roster of when they go into that game 2 weeks from tonight, this is our house. We're going to protect it. Who the hell's Ohio State? It's not –
you're wearing your Under Armour stuff, man.
It was supposed to be a lot hotter than it was. I thought I'd be sweating a lot, and therefore I thought, what is the cheapest polo that I care about the least in my closet that I got on the discount rack that I can wear? And I don't say that insulting to Under Armour. Like, it's the bargain brand for dads like me and you. Like, it's great. I get a bunch of stuff at their Memorial Day sale. And I wear it, and I'm sure that helps with recruiting. Not, but, like, it works for me, so I like it. I'm also wearing a pair of, if you see me right now, I probably fit.
Yeah, if you're watching on a YouTube show.
If you're watching, I won't move my camera. I'm wearing these, like, salmon colored summer pants that I got summoned for jury duty last week. I got out, and I thought, oh, the Old Orchard Mall is 4 minutes away. Let me go see what's there. There's no one there. And I got $10 summer pants at J. Crew because they were $10. Ooh. And I didn't think I'd wear them for a year. And I thought, oh, going to Alabama, might as well wear them now. So
high value.
These clothes have been on my body since about 5:30 a.m. this morning, given my flight travels here, which rivaled you coming back from Dublin. But it was all worth it. It was awesome environment here. I got to see a ton of good football at my hotel and on TV here. Paul Burmeister, a friend of the program, I see in LaGuardia late last night. I also learned that Allentown is an airport, and I spent way too much time in it last night as well. Yeah, I took four different planes to get here. This is why I don't connect. It was a struggle. And poor Paul was stuck in LaGuardia for way too long, too, for a direct flight to Raleigh. He was there, I assume.
He, as far as I know, I saw Ryan Harris, also a friend of the show, a few times.
Yeah, I saw Ryan posting, but only I didn't see anyone in the booth.
I think he would have, like, called somebody, like, maybe –
you?
Yeah, maybe he called me and was like, can you do play-by-play for this? And, like, I know the Notre Dame players. Getting back to, like, the bigger picture stuff, I put that question to Marcus Freeman afterwards because it's like, really, this is – I mean, he's, what, 13, 14, 17 games into – 16 games into his head coaching career here? Like,
sure.
He really hasn't had, like, a – can you look ahead? What does this mean, big picture? Which is like the question I put to Brian Kelly like every other week.
Start 0-3. You've got to.
Yeah, that's a deep hole to dig out of. But, you know, he's like, look, what's the ceiling of this team? I don't know. But, like, we got Sam Hartman, and they responded like a winning team, like a championship team would tonight or today against NC State, where they took a punch and gave four or five back, you know, dealt with some adversity. And again, like, it all goes back to what kind of quarterback do you have? They have the kind of quarterback that, you know, only one of the teams you saw tonight live has, and it's not the one that was in Crimson.
Look at, like, that you probably got to watch more than you bargained for, given the delay, like Colorado, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule is a great coach. I have no doubt he'll turn Nebraska around the way he's turned around far worse programs in much more dire straits. But he put all his chips on the table on Jeff Sims, who is terrible.
Right.
And when you screw that position up, nothing else. Like, Nebraska's D played their ass off today and was absolutely good enough to win that game if they just protected the ball on offense. And they didn't. And we've seen that with teams all over the place all the time. You got a great QB, everything else just kind of falls into place.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you got to work that much harder at everything else. And I was here's a fun one for you. I was going to the restroom during a third quarter break, and who's in there? Cooper Manning. And I thought, man, if only there was a Bama bagman in this press box to go over and tell your son to switch sides right now, because you're not getting used at Texas and you'd be slinging it right now tomorrow for Alabama based on what we saw from those guys tonight. So it's all about the quarterbacks. It's always been that way. It is a luxury that Notre Dame has right now that they've not had in a long time. It's fun to cover. It's fun to watch. And I can't wait to see where it takes them this season.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride the rest of the way. I didn't really know where the season was going to go, but I felt pretty confident about what it was going to look like on the way there. And I mean that in the sense of, like, I knew Notre Dame was going to be a very entertaining watch. Maybe not as entertaining as they are, maybe not as enjoyable a watch as they have been for the fan base, but this is a season that, like, I mean, if you're a Notre Dame fan, I think you are highly rational to sort of kind of dream big on it. I felt like a good season would be if they're 8-1 going to Clemson and they got a chance to sort of play their way in. I still feel that way. However, when they go to Clemson, they're going to have a much better quarterback than what Clemson is putting out there right now. And I mean, who's to say, like, Notre Dame's got five more ACC games. Are they going to be favored in all five?
At least four.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even a question.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, if Notre Dame was favored going to Clemson, that would not shock me today. Whereas before the season started, it would have. But I'm just saying, like, that just sort of changes, like, all right, well, I thought Clemson before the season was the hardest game that Notre Dame had, because Clemson was going to want to pay them back. It's on the road. It's in November. It's a long season. Who knows what the previous eight games look like, how healthy you are, et cetera. Now I think Notre Dame's going to look at Clemson and be like, well, just not the same as Ohio State, but similar. Like, why shouldn't you expect to win that game if you're Notre Dame?
Yeah, you know, it's where that one is on schedule is, it's just such on the back burner for me right now because of Ohio State, because of USC, because it's only September 9th. We got to focus one game at a time, Pete, which is why we're skipping Central Michigan, only focusing on Ohio State right now because it's a nice early season game. A lot can change for both teams between now and November. Again, Clemson, maybe more than anyone, is proven they can improve a lot, even some of their not great years over the course of a season.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, knock on wood, injuries, depth, there's just so much that can be different between now and November that, you know, yes, what I've seen so far has not been impressive from Clemson, but my focus is on the Buckeyes. That's 2 weeks from now. I am very much looking forward to that one. Next week, less so. We'll you know, do we want to ramp up the Ohio State coverage? And Ari Wasserman's here right now. I can get him on this show if we want to talk about the Buckeyes.
He'll be in Notre Dame, like, because you're going to be at Ohio State, right? Like,
I will be there, yes.
Okay, yeah. Ari Wasserman will be there too, so maybe he'll we'll find a booth somewhere and lock ourselves in and do a crossover podcast.
Perfect. I guess I'm not athletic anymore. Yeah, athletic by athletic by Inside Zone. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll something like that.
We should do a live post game show that night. I will put that out there right now for all of our
listeners.
That's
a good idea.
Win or lose, the takes will be strong.
Yeah,
from me, from you, I mean, from Ari, from everybody.
we're working towards the live show format post game, where, you know, we'll have a chat and we can take your questions and read them out there. I think by the time Ohio State rolls around, maybe we'll work out the kinks for Central Michigan and then just turn on the juice for Ohio State a week later. Not to get too far ahead, USC is up 49-3 on Stanford at the half. So that also was going to be a fun game. I mean,
you just ruined my night, by the way. I'm in a Vegas, our friend Tim Murray recommended this one to me. Vegas has no, they got rid of all their like college pickup contests because they kept losing money, but there was a hybrid one at Golden Nugget with college and NFL. So a buddy of mine went in there, you know, kind of half and half. And we were 4-for-4 today on colleges, but I had Stanford plus 29 to round it out as my fifth college one. Maybe second half backdoor, although unlikely.
Yeah, having watched some of the game, you're not gonna get any joy on that one. I hate to tell you, but
can't win them all.
Yeah, but hey, look, Notre Dame. I think we both pick them to cover. I think that we both picked them to cover.
I did not. No, I had 28-24.
Okay, so I picked them to cover, but not by this margin. So yeah, it's like Notre Dame looks the part. I think so. They've covered all three spreads.
Nah, did they cover last week?
They did. I think just at the very end.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. Yeah. Out. It wasn't very public.
So you know, it's like good teams win, great teams cover. Is that the saying? You're more into the gambling stuff than I am. But like Notre Dame is like the end result. Like what they're putting on the field is, it's not only winning football. It's I guess it's winning football in multiple ways, depending on, you know, how you like to consume the sport. But Notre Dame just, like, they got a lot going for them right now. I think that will continue next week. If ever there was a time to look ahead and only win by 20 and not cover a 35-point spread, that's probably it. But I mean, we're gonna get one of the things that I really wanted this season is to see undefeated Notre Dame versus undefeated Ohio State in prime time, and what that scene is like. Because like Notre Dame doesn't, like, not just Notre Dame, like most colleges don't get that scene more than once every 4 or 5 years. But September 23rd is going to be one of those times where Notre Dame gets it. And it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to cover and be there and experience and soak it all up. So, you know, all due respect to the Chippewas and in the Brian Kelly Classic next week, but like, I'm on to Ohio State already. I think
it's Jim McElwain, right?
Yeah, still Jim McElwain.
Any shark photos? Any naked shark photos we got to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I don't think in Mount Pleasant there's a whole lot of deep sea fishing like there was around Gainesville. So
I knew everything I needed to know about his SEC coaching tenure when he got defensive and couldn't have fun with that. Just not going to work down there if you're wound that tight.
No. No, I don't think so.
Game day is going to Colorado next week for Colorado State, which, again, I kind of assumed they would be going to Notre Dame, Ohio State, but if they hadn't hit Colorado yet, that left open the possibility of Colorado, Oregon. Now, I mean, again, no one's told me anything.
Gotta be, right?
It's gotta be Notre Dame, Ohio State. They can't miss the chance to get those two brands.
Yeah. Well, and I think, will NBC be there as well? Will they do sort of an on-site?
NBC's doing their, from my understanding, they're doing like, that's their primetime, you know, they're, just like Charlotte, Maryland tonight, which was actually a good game. Did Maryland come back and win? They were losing. Charlotte, Maryland was NBC's primetime A-team tonight with the studio and everything, but I believe they're all doing that for the Ohio State game.
It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a really good time. Great time. So, well, we're 14 days away from that, so that leaves time for multiple podcasts between then and now. I think we're going to have kind of a special podcast the week of Ohio State that we can float some details on maybe next week once that's finalized a little bit more. But
it's on the Notre Dame Club of Chicago website right now. Okay. If you want to look it up, I don't want to share all the details because I'm still learning about them as we go, but our names are on there.
Yeah. Might be a good time to hang out if you want to catch a live show of the Independent. So that will be fun. The game on Saturday night against Ohio State will be fun because Notre Dame took care of his business today against NC State. 45-24 winners. I really should have that score committed to memory.
It was 40. Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, Notre Dame's 29th straight win over the ACC in the regular season. Sam Hartman throws 4 touchdowns. And Notre Dame's season of high quality programming continues. So Matt, I don't know if you've got anything else to add, but it's...
No, I passed a 24-hour Whataburger on the way here. I've never been to Whataburger, and I can't think of a better way to commemorate a Texas is back victory than by trying my first Whataburger way past midnight in Tuscaloosa, Alabama on my drive back to Birmingham tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully that lives up to the hype. Just fantastic. The way, same way Texas did.
Yeah. All right. On that note, we'll wrap up there on this episode of The Independent. We'll be back next week. Probably not to preview Central Michigan a whole lot, but to talk about more about Sam Hartman mania. We'll find a fun guest to come on the show too. So until then, he's Matt. I'm Pete. You've been listening to the latest episode of The Independent.